ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Grace Van Bonnen. Grace and her husband, Kirk, have been in full-time ministry for all 17 years of their marriage. Grace works in the marketplace as a curriculum developer, and her husband is the pastor of church planting at Christ Church in Arizona. He also leads their church planting ministry called Vintage Mission, which you're going to hear about today on the podcast. Because Kirk's ministry takes him away from home quite a bit, I asked Grace to come on the podcast to share about how she supports her husband's ministry, how she sends him with joy and blessing, how she's fought bitterness and resentment in the past, and how she stays connected with her husband while he's away. Grace offers us encouragement as we all, as pastors' wives, share our husband with the church or his ministry. There's so much good stuff here. So here, friends, is my conversation with Grace Van Bonnen. Well, I'm really excited to get to welcome Grace Van Bonnen. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay, good. Yay. I was afraid. Right when I started, I was like, oh no, I'm going to say it wrong. But welcome, Grace, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so thankful to be able to just share what God's done in our lives and ministry. So this is fun for me.
Well, good. We'll start by telling us where you are, your family, your ministry context. What are y'all doing?
Yeah. So, as I said before, Grace Van Bonnen is my name. My husband is Kirk Van Bonnen. We've been married for 17 years. And when I met him, he was already in ministry. So what's really funny is he was one of the few single guys in a very large church context. So, yeah, he was like, I got the prize. I got the
Was he the prize? Like other women were like, I want to date him.
Totally. Totally. Everybody was trying to set him up.
So, oh my gosh. Okay. I have to ask about that because I have a friend like that who was in our church and married one of our pastors. And that was kind of a weird transition for her. Yeah. Like she was a church member.
Yep.
And then she became one of the lead pastors, you know, main pastor's wives. And I think that was kind of a change for her and everybody.
Yes. Yeah. And fortunately, you know, at the time when I met Kirk in ministry, he was more of like a missions director intern. So he wasn't a lead pastor. So fortunately I could kind of, we married and, you know, step right into big church ministry and that was fine. I stayed pretty anonymous.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. But that is a change.
It was definitely a change. But so today we actually are in Arizona. So that was back in Illinois. So we've been married and in ministry for 17 years. In Illinois, he was part of really church planting, a big church planting ministry. He was training and equipping church planters, not just nationally, but internationally.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And then we moved out here to Arizona about 6 years ago.
And what is he doing there?
He is currently vocationally, he works for Christ Church here in Arizona, and he leads their church planting ministry. So it's called Vintage Mission. And so we have about 28 church partners and planted 7 churches in the last 4 years. So he's still doing church planting, but it's in a new context. And he does a lot with the Send City team here in Phoenix. And so, yeah, so church planting's been our life from really the beginning of our marriage, essentially.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So do they come to your church to kind of prepare to church plant?
So in Illinois, when we were doing ministry there, yes, we did like a residency program or whatnot. But now here, we actually still do it here in Arizona, but some of the partnerships are, you know, not necessarily like, it's not necessarily that way. So yeah, some of it's just straight up, my husband's going over there and he's going into their, you know, church context in a different state or city, and he's training their, you know, elder team, or he's working with the planter directly. So, yeah.
So Christ Church, where you serve, is really passionate about church planting, and they have him on staff mm-hmm. in order to invest in church planters. Is yeah. that, am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really awesome.
It is. It is. Yeah.
I love that. So yeah. it seems like then a part of his job would be traveling a lot. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
How yeah. often is he gone a month, you think?
It's varied over the years. I would say this last, like just this, you know, just in the past year, or actually just last few months, I would say he's been traveling maybe every 10 days these last few months. So he's in another state, just training, equipping, maybe every 10 days these days.
And he's gone for quite a bit of time when he leaves, or?
Yeah, usually, yeah, it'd be, well, it could be up to a week. It could be. Okay. Yeah. So it varies. So maybe every other week right now he's been traveling.
Okay. Okay. I want to ask more about that, but do you have kids?
No, we do.
No kids. Okay. Yes. I was wondering if that's a whole nother factor that would play into some of the questions I would ask.
Exactly. Yes. No.
Okay. And do you work then?
I do. I work full time. I work remotely, online, at home. My background's education. Uh-huh. So I actually work for a university, and I build curriculum for their future prospective teachers. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay. Well, let's talk some about your husband traveling, because I would think that that's a challenge in many ways, and for in any field where we have a partner who's traveling, that's hard, but in ministry specifically, because you can't always participate in what he's doing. And I don't know if that's something you desire to do, but I would love for you to kind of give voice to what some of the challenges have been with this type of work that he's doing in ministry.
Yeah. I think with traveling, some of that stress comes from like connection, you know, feeling like, am I connected to him? I don't know, you know, all the details of, you know, his ministry. You know, there's just no time. There's just not enough time to download everything, because he's, you know, on the ground, he's with a planter in their church context for maybe, you know, days, like a whole week. And they've experienced all these things. And there's a lot going on, but there's, you know, he comes home and there's just not always that time to download it all. So sometimes there's almost like a disconnection that I can feel, you know, almost like, well, he's out there doing his whole ministry thing and I'm here at home working full time. And, you know, there's that sense of like distance, natural distance, and maybe missing intimacy in the spiritual work together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cause most listeners are probably serving in a church where their husband is on staff at the church. Mm-hmm. So they know the people that he's working with. They are mm-hmm. involved in things, but I could see how that would be hard for you to not. Do you know some of the people he's going to serve?
Yeah, I do. Like, you know, every once in a while we'll do certain events together, or we'll travel together to a location. But even that, a lot of the nature of his ministry work, it's, you know, him with other pastors or elders. And there's not really always a role for me to go with him, you know?
I see. Yeah.
So it's, or, you know, he's supporting a church in stages of development, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's not really my role. And mm-hmm. so oftentimes he's traveling alone. So it does create a little bit of, you know, there's a curiosity in me that wants yeah. to naturally know all the things, you know?
Yeah. For but, sure. Yeah. So what are some things you've learned about staying connected, mm-hmm. even though you don't share the ministry? And I think that can apply to a lot of listeners who maybe they're a young mom staying at home with kids, mm-hmm. or they're working full time. They can't be engaged in mm-hmm. the church ministry. So what have you learned about how can y'all stay connected yeah. to one another?
Yeah. So I think, you know, part of it has been the role of prayer in our lives. So I know that a lot of times we think of prayer as, oh, I'm praying for my husband, and, you know, I'm going to just pray for the specific things and all the lists of, you know, people that he's meeting. But again, because I don't always have the full context of, you know, who these people are or whatever, I think I've started to learn to pray maybe almost differently for him, where I'm praying over not just his, you know, the details of what he's doing, but I'm thinking about like the areas of, like those very specific areas that as a wife, I know that he's prone to. So, you know, I know that he's, you know, maybe prone to, like he's an introvert, so naturally. So I can, you know, I know he's prone to maybe just fatigue, like uh-huh. from lots of conversation, like 12-hour days of just in front of people, you know, training and teaching. And I know as a wife, just how much that can physically take a toll on him emotionally, physically, spiritually. And he needs to just have quiet and a little solitude at nights. And he may or may not get a lot of that when he's traveling. So I get to pray for things that are really specific to who he is, how God's designed him and how God's using him. So that's kind of something that shifted in me, and because I used to be so curious. He'd get back from a trip, I'd be like, tell me everything. Who did you meet and what are they doing? And what, you know, or tell me all the prayer requests before you leave. And, you know, there's just not enough time. Because he's doing so much at any given point in time.
Yeah.
But finding like a way to pray for him, knowing like almost like that intimacy is because I can pray for him because I know that about him. Yeah. There's a special intimacy that, you know, he and I have that I can pray for things that he doesn't have to utter to me because I know maybe his energy level or the, you know, or what he's already carrying. Because he also serves as, you know, like a pastor locally at our church, but it's non-vocational. So he's, you know, one of the elders at our local church. And, you know, that also requires, you know, giving of his time and his energy. And so there's weight that they carry naturally as pastors, yeah. You know, caring for a local body. So, yeah, so that's been kind of a big lesson for me is realizing that there is intimacy in prayer, even if physically we aren't in the same space or sharing the same experiences. Like there's a built-in intimacy when I know things about my husband that other people can't be praying for. They can do them that way. So
that's such a good point. Well, I'd love to talk about the going and the coming because I think sometimes the going, there can be this buildup, you know, he's leaving again, you know, he's going to be gone. You're going to be there alone or, you know, there's a lot to anticipate that you might not love. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering how you have learned to send him with blessing and with joy.
Oh, that's such a good question. Because I think I failed in that in certain seasons of marriage.
We all have.
Yeah. Because I think earlier in, you know, marriage and ministry, I think I didn't see it as sending him. So it was hard to do it joyfully. I think I saw it as he's leaving me, you know, and he's missing out on things or he's not going to be here for this or that. And all the expectations that I just formulated early in marriage, I just put expectations like, well, of course you're going to be home for Thanksgiving, you know, when it was, you know, ministry had him at the time, like in Liberia, strengthening church planters out in Liberia, West Africa, you know, but in my mind I was battling, yeah, but this is Thanksgiving, you know, of course you'll be home. So I think earlier in my years of marriage, like I couldn't see it as sending. And I think later years, I think I started to see it as, wait a second, I need to get on mission with my husband. And that changed a lot in me because I think I saw ministry as a competition to me and to like, honestly, I thought it was almost like, well, that's your thing. And that was in competition to us or to me or what I wanted. And, I think it was really good for my husband and I to have conversations about, wait a second, you signed up for this. like this wasn't a surprise. It's not like I, you know, married somebody, you know, who had no desire to sacrifice his time and energy and life for ministry. Like I signed up for that and I knew it. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge shift for me was just getting on mission with him and saying, you know, what it looks like to support you and God, because you have a role and it's distinct and it may not look like things I've seen before. You know, like I grew up with like pastor, like my older brother was a pastor. Like I've been around pastors, you know, my whole life. So I had a picture of what that looked like, but to have my husband in ministry and to see it pulling him away in my mind, I was like, wait, like I don't understand this part. So basically getting to a place where I said, well, you know what? Like, this is our mission. this is how God is using and equipped my husband. And some of it entails travel and distance and, you know, lots of times that we're like two ships passing in the night. But, you know, if, you know, I even was able to start thinking about, well, if he's here, if I told him and I demanded to him like, hey, you need to be home for this and you need to be here with me, I started thinking, what is it that he is not then doing? Like, am I basically saying like, oh, no, 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 don't go to that church on the East Coast where they're, you know, they're looking for support and they want someone to be there with them and train and equip their elders. Like, because I want him here, like in my living room eating dinner with me. You know, I was like, is that the alternative? Like, you know, so once I started to realize, wait, it might be a sacrifice, what feels like a sacrifice on my part, it's actually like the blessing to somebody else. Like they're getting the benefit of his presence. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
I share the story in my church planting wife book. I think it was in that book. But somebody early in ministry, my husband went away for a training. We were doing college ministry at the time. He took some students. And the leader of that ministry wrote me a letter. And he said, thank you for sending Kyle. Mm-hmm. And he talked to me in that letter about the story of David in the Old Testament when he and some of his men went away mm-hmm. to fight a battle. And some of the men stayed back with the luggage, basically. And when they were victorious, they come back. And some of the men who went were like, you know, we want all the blessing. We want all of the stuff that we earned. And David says, no, everyone gets the mm-hmm. benefit because the people who stayed back are just as important in the mission as the people yes. who went. Yes. And that letter, first of all, meant so much to me. I was a young wife, but I always think about that mm-hmm. because for wives, we don't always do the same thing, mm-hmm. but our part in it is so vital and important. And we get the blessing of that mm-hmm. obedience yeah. too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what we forget too, is there is eternal blessing in the sacrifice, right? It's that John 12:24 principle of like a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It produces many seeds like that. That picture in the gospel of death, but there's fruit that's born from that death. Christ being the perfect example of that. But I feel like for a wife, like we don't always recognize that it's a sacrifice. There's a death in our time, in the even like the comforts and pleasures of having your right. husband around.
Right.
And that in that death, like we kind of forget that there is blessing. There's that eternal blessing where it's an eternal reward. Like there are people who are being, you know, like equipped or churches that are being strengthened. That's like beyond what I can ever see. And that's yeah. only the Lord knows in eternity. But there's like you described that also that present in the moment, like Lord sees me. The Lord sees me. Like, and so, yeah, even if it's just, you know, randomly getting like a message, an instant message, you know, from one of the wives, this recently happened, and she's like messaging me directly, like the pastor's wife of like a, you know, planter's wife messages me and just says like, thank you for, you know, sending your husband to come be here with us for the, you know, week that he was here. Like it meant so much to us. And realizing like, well, yeah, like I didn't physically do anything. I just stayed home. But, yeah. you know, that's recognized, like people feel that. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned that you have struggled some with feeling frustration or competition with ministry. I think that's a very common mm-hmm. feeling that wives have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that their husbands are always traveling, but when things get interrupted or the husband's called out at unexpected times, sometimes it can create a sense of resentment mm-hmm. in us. I've dealt with that before, resentment or bitterness or, you know, even thinking, is the church more important than me? Mm-hmm. And so how have you dealt with those kinds of things?
Yeah. And I think, so whenever I talk about our ministry and our marriage, so I always kind of preface it by saying I can be descriptive about my marriage, but it's not prescriptive by any yeah. way, shape, or form. Right. So, because of how we did ministry as single people, because my husband and I got married, you know, when I was 30, he was 32. So we had already been on a trajectory of ministry on our own. So I had a heart for missions. He had a heart for missions. So we were already very much acquainted with ministry life, even, you know, just as single people. So when we got together for marriage and then he's, you know, doing this ministry apart from me, that competition of feeling like, wait a second, like I had a heart for, you know, ministry and I'm not doing what you're doing. And I think one of the things we did was we kind of had conversation about our expectations and priority of our lives. And we are not by any means like I say this all the time, we're not like an example of how it should be done because we all have different wirings and callings and strengths and ministry, even like capacity. And so for Kirk and I, we actually determined that like ministry is first. Like we're okay with, you know, we're going to like, if he needs to go do ministry, like I'm okay with like him doing that. And then we catch up and we figure we have our own rhythm. Like we do vacation once a year or it'll be a ministry trip. Like we'll go somewhere together and it's once a year. And maybe to other couples, like that's not sufficient for their rhythm or even the health of their marriage. But for us, that actually has worked for us where, you know, we will kind of prioritize ministry. We just say, because we both intensely were like that as single people. Like we don't have a ton of hobbies, we're not, you know, and again, with not having children, like that was also one of those areas where we have time and we have capacity. So when my husband's traveling, he and I are both great with the fact that I use my time to like get to know the women in our local church body. And, you know, I try to meet, especially with there are single women that are on staff at the church, or there are married women younger that are, you know, on staff at the church and, you know, or just some of the, you know, women that work and minister in leadership at the church, but they may be lay workers, you know, they're not necessarily on staff, but, yeah, like I love using my time when he's away to pour into other women and kind of find opportunities to disciple or even just talk about like, hey, life is ministry. Like we don't, and again, we don't compartmentalize it because, you know, so it's not like, yeah, we just don't think of it that way. But that's how we're wired.
That makes sense. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from you is intentionality. You've had intentional conversations about it with your husband. Mm-hmm. And then you're intentional with your time. When your husband is called away, you're using that time mm-hmm. to serve where the Lord has you. And so I think that can apply in any situation for husband and wife. Be intentional about your decisions. Mm-hmm. What does work for you? What doesn't? How can you, as much as you can, choose those things? And then being intentional for wives who feel like they're sharing their husband with the church and starting to become resentful. Instead, maybe flip it on its head and say, well, maybe this is giving me time and opportunity to do something of my own.
Yeah. Yeah. Which has been super encouraging for me too, because one of the funny things that happens as well is, you know, sometimes I want things from my husband, whether it's conversation about ministry or whatever. There are things that I want in my time with my husband that sometimes we jokingly say, like, he's not my girlfriend. He'll be like, you know, because I'm trying, you know, I want like all this time. I'll be like, oh, I want to hear all about what you're doing. And I want to tell you all the things. And sometimes we realize like we can rejoice in how God is using each other. And if our time is limited, like there's a level of like trust and confidence that, you know, I see God using you and I want to just affirm you in that. And so he sees that I spend a lot of time with the women in our local church body. And he's like, yeah, go do it. Like, you know, you don't have to tell me about all the things, but you know, in the same way, I don't have to tell him all the things.
I love that. Well, that leads to my next point is, so that we talked about the sending or the going, but what about the coming home? So when he comes home, mm-hmm. sometimes when my husband's gone for a while, I kind of get my own little rhythm and I'm like, wait, you're back. Like I gotta mm-hmm. remember how to put you back into the rhythm. It's just easy just to get in my own little world. But I'm wondering how you mentioned he was an introvert and he goes mm-hmm. and he spends so much time with people and conversation and all that. Mm-hmm. How do you receive him home mm-hmm. in a way that it provides rest for him? Or, you know, I'm just thinking, how are you intentional about when he comes home?
Yeah, I think that's been a learning thing. I'm more of an external processor. I like to verbally talk about all the things that I'm thinking. And that doesn't really help him rest. If I'm just talking all day long to him when he gets back from a trip. So we've actually learned in marriage. And again, this was intentional conversation. We had that conversation where I asked him, like, what does it look like to support you? So I actually tell other women, like, have you ever asked your husband that? Like, what does it look like for your husband to feel supported?
That's right. That's like, great.
Not every husband, but your husband. And so when I've had those conversations with Kirk, he's very clear. He knows exactly what he needs. He's like, I need quiet, like literally quiet, like no talking in the house, just quiet. And I thought, that's so different. Because that doesn't seem, you know, to me, I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like we're communicating. We're not, you know, are we engaging with one another? That got me nervous. So, you know, early years of marriage, I didn't believe that that was that was true until I started to do that, until I started to give it to him. And I started being quieter in the home. So when he's home, I mean, I'm not talking his ear off. I let him just be quiet and sit in solitude a little bit and let him rest and nap if he needs to, you know, which was, yeah, at first it felt unnatural to me, but that's when I realized, but there are other ways we can communicate. It doesn't have to be the way I'm comfortable communicating. I can adjust to him, just to bless him, especially after a long trip. And
yeah.
So now when we do communicate, I mean, you know, it'll be maybe on the phone as he's driving and it's undivided attention and it's just me and him on the phone. And I can just, you know, that's when we're doing it, because he's already working. It's in the middle of his work day and he's, you know, maybe running to a meeting, to another meeting, and we're on the phone and we're processing things together. And that's a better time than when he's just gotten back from a trip and he's like, Yes. His words are all used up for the week.
That's so funny. Okay, so I'm wondering, when are times that you do say, I think it's too much, like, I think you need to be home? Because I do think there are times, at least for me, with my husband, if he says, he always runs things by me, like, mm-hmm. here's this opportunity, what do you think? And if it's ministry related, mm-hmm. and it's generally, you know, of course, there are times where it's clearly not a good option or idea. But most of the time, like, well, if that's what you want to do, then yeah. But sometimes I have felt a little hesitancy and not always known, is this me just not wanting him to do this because it affects me? Or is this something that actually might not be a good idea for our family? And so mm-hmm. how do you know the difference? And how do you, do you sometimes speak up and say, I think maybe you need to be home now?
Yeah. So I feel like I have a couple things. Like the first thing I know is we're fortunate that he has like a group of men, like other pastors and leaders that know his, you know, schedule or know like his propensity to work a lot. And that protection, I feel like, is already sort of embedded in our ministry context. So I'm super thankful.
That's like, great.
Yeah. So that, in and of itself, I think helps me to feel like a little bit more, you know, restful, knowing, you know what, he's already saying no to a lot of things and he won't tell me all the things he said no to, because sometimes it's just a lot. There's a lot. But every now and again, he'll mention like, oh yeah, they wanted me to, you know, do this or come out to that city or, you know, go overseas to that. And sometimes he says no. And I just appreciate that there's other men that will, you know, that are kind of watching that and they work closely with him. They know. So that's one thing. But for me in the home, when it's just the two of us making a decision on things, like oftentimes I'll just kind of say yes. Like it's a default yes. And if I have hesitation, then I'm going through kind of internally on my own, trying to sort out like why the no? Like, why am I feeling hesitant? So is it, and a lot of times, to be honest, it's stemming from maybe insecurity. Like maybe we've had lots of back to back to back and haven't seen a lot of each other. Other times it's, so I'm a little bit nervous, you know, like, oh, you've been gone for quite a bit of time. Like, I think you need to be home more. So in that though, if it's legitimate, like, oh, I see, let's say he's just exhausted. And as a wife, like, I don't want to see him function out of exhaustion. I'll mention things, but it's never, to me, it's never a hard no, because there's something, I have a confidence that he knows like where his limitations are and the Lord knows. So at some point, like, I don't want to be that nagging wife that's just going to be like, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Because if left to my own senses, I will say no way more than I should. I mean, just to be honest,
yeah,
that's my flesh. I just know that if I get in the habit of saying no to things and not trusting that he can discern it and not trusting that the Lord will, like, because sometimes trips have been canceled. I kid you not. Like, even if I haven't said a word and I'm like, oh man, that's been rough. Like, there are trips that have been canceled that out of nowhere, I'm like, oh, you know, thanks, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
You saw that. You knew it. I didn't have to say a word. Like, he's on it. So, yeah. So in general, when it's ministry, if I know that it's ministry related and that there's a benefit to the people that he's going to be ministering to, like, I'm in the habit of saying yes. And then God kind of sorts out all the reasons why I'm afraid.
You know? Yeah. That's so good. So I hear in you just a deep sense of peace and confidence. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, and which is amazing. I love that. And I'm thinking of women listening, and I think of myself when I was younger in ministry and had small children, and it's a lot. It's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really challenging when you get into a season of bitterness or resentment to be in the place where you are. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what you would say to women who are listening, who are just like, man, I'm not in a place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for her?
Yeah, I'd say, like, for a moment, lift your eyes. Like, lift your eyes up and see the eternal perspective. Because I think when we're in the trenches, and, you know, because I've been around a ton of ministry women who have, like, many kids, and they're just trying to, like, hold down the fort, and it's exhausting. Or, you know, they just feel disconnected from their husbands. And I feel like when I have conversations with them, I just, like, I'm preaching to ourselves, like, lift your eyes up. Like, there is something bigger and greater. Like, our expectations of what we want out of this life, what we expect it to look like, what we think the ideal, you know, family or the ideal Christian, anything, like, it, there's something in us that just, it gets like we get tighter and tighter and almost like more frustrated and angry, and we're at war with our husbands, and we're at war with the church and the ministry, because it's not doing what we want it to do for us. So I feel like there's something about just, like, can you stop and look and think and consider the eternal perspective? Like, our husbands are doing, you know, like, a spiritual work that has eternal consequence. So whether you're husband is like a pastor of a local church, like, literally when he's preparing the word of God to deliver it to the sheep, or, I mean, there's someone who's maybe sitting in that congregation hearing the word of God for the first time. They've never heard the gospel. They may, like, I mean, just the thought of the eternal work that's happening. If you can see that in the daily grind, I feel like you need to also surround yourself with people that will feed that in you. So, you know, I'm always seeking out whatever church context I've been in. I'm always, like, secretly looking for, like, the women in my life that will have that same shared eternal perspective, yeah, where they're like, I can deny myself. I can sacrifice that, because I know there's an eternal reward. And I know that this is, like, kingdom stuff. Like, this is way more important than, you know, whether, you know, my husband was here to, you know, help me clean up the mess in the kitchen. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, there's big things that are happening in God's kingdom. So that's really all I ever do, is I just kind of say, well, let's just, like, get our eyes off ourselves and off our context and get off of our situations for that moment in time, get a glimpse of what's happening in the eternal kingdom. And then somehow I feel like at least for that moment, you know, it gives you the ability to like refresh and reboot and be like, yeah, that's right. Like, yes, this is hard. And yes, I'm frustrated, but yeah, that's right. Like, this is not about me. Like, this life is not about me. And then you can go into joy, you know, to sacrifice for the kingdom.
Yeah. Yes. That's so good that God sees our obedience. He mm-hmm. sees in the secret mm-hmm. what we our internal obedience and our external obedience. So mm-hmm. that's not wasted either. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Grace, for your insight. I love getting to know you and hear your story. And I loved everything you shared with us about how you are doing ministry there in Arizona.
Yep. In the heat. The dry heat. We're out here.
Well, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. I would love to hear from you. We are creating an episode full of our listeners' funniest or most embarrassing moments in ministry. Record and send your story to me at the link in the show notes. And don't forget, if you found this content helpful, please rate and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.